Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Jake Dickert, Coach Washington State, is joining us. All right, give us an idea. What's it been like for you? The weather's turned here in Oregon, and we're having kind of a dreary week, but what's it been like for you guys practicing and the mentality of your team?
Well, I think the bye week came to us just at the right time. You know, we went 9 straight, and that was a physical, grueling 9 games in a row. Obviously, a lot of emotional things during that time. So it came at the right time to get a couple guys healthy and see some young guys, and then obviously prepare for a really talented team. So just hitting at the right time. You know, we like to practice outside and get out in the elements and do those things. So we'll be ready for whatever the weather brings us.
I think coaches like the bye week. I don't know if players like it. You know what I mean? Players want to play. Were you that way when you played, or have you always liked a bye week?
Well, I think a little bit in the bye week, sometimes even as a coach, it feels like, oh, I got a little bit of time to breathe, and then you add recruiting, you add game planning, you add everything else that comes with it, and you're not as excited about it as you thought. But it depends on when it comes at the right time. As a player, you know, you're used to having it earlier in the season, at least I am. So when it comes in week 9, I think it's a welcome break and just kind of resets and refocuses the mindset for the stretch run.
You grew up in an educational household. Your dad was an educator, superintendent of schools. You know, what was that like for you to have, you know, the big boss in your house?
Well, he started as a teacher and then a principal. And, you know, I'll tell you what, you can't get away with anything when your dad's the principal of a school. I mean, try to come home for dinner and he knows exactly what you did the whole day. So thank God my brother, he's the one that tested all the boundaries. That was a pretty good rule follower. So it just set a good example. But, you know, man, some days were scary that he knew everything that happened.
Did that sort of shape what you wanted to do? Like, you know, after you go to Wisconsin Stevens Point, you play some football. Were you focused on education or maybe getting back in a classroom or coaching all the way?
Absolutely, and it's part of my family. I was going to be a math teacher and a coach, and now I look back on that, I must have been a glutton for punishment, wanted to teach middle school math, but it just kind of changed over time, and I knew I always wanted to be a coach. I always loved sports. I played 3 sports growing up. And, you know, my dad was a coach to us, and it just one of those things where he just said, hey, try college coaching before you really take a permanent job and start the real world, real life. And it kind of led me down this path. So kind of changed my life just after I graduated to be a graduate assistant at Wisconsin Stevens Point and catch my big break getting to be a graduate assistant at North Dakota State.
Yeah, long hours, a lot of days. You know, you mentioned multi-sports, and we talk about it a lot on this show because there are a lot of families who listen. What would you tell families with kids who maybe are being pushed towards specialization in this era? You know, what do you want to see when you recruit a kid?
Yeah, I always say don't do it. You know, you only are young once, and specializing and coaching and playing one side of the ball or one sport, I'm always a big fan of, you know, when I get to go talk to a high school coach and, you know, he's playing football, he's running track or basketball or baseball or just being multiple, doing a lot of things, because that means their ceiling is really high. I think it helps your footwork, your hand-eye coordination. I mean, there's so many positives about being leaders. And the biggest thing I say, John, is be part of the team. Okay, I'm okay with some off-training and specialization, but don't sacrifice the team, you know, and the team concept and the leadership and the blood, sweat, and tears that go into that, I think is very powerful and sometimes is missing in today's world. So be part of the team, but do it while you're young. Do as many things as you can, and we'll specialize you once you get to this level.
Yeah, you know, I have 3 daughters, and it's interesting to watch them play, and they learn team dynamic, and they learn, you know, being part of something that's bigger than themselves. You've got 3 kids. You got 2 boys and a girl. How are those relationships different, you know, when you watch them compete as athletes when they're young?
Well, I think the coach never leaves you. You know, sometimes when I'm watching, you know, my daughter play softball or she loves theater in a play, or the 2 young boys are now just getting into soccer and football. you know, I think you watch it. And my biggest message to them all the time is have fun. You know, I think there's sometimes where kids forget about that or parents forget about it. It's fun. Get them playing. Get as many people out there as you can, because you never know. You know, I always laugh when, you know, fourth and fifth grade, they have these traveling teams. Well, you don't know who's going to be great as a 17 or 18-year-old. Keep these kids playing and keep it enjoyable for them. So I try to take that mindset, even though, you know, my dad, when he was coaching us, everyone thinks, your parents the coach, it must be so easy on you. Oh, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. So he challenged me every day and kind of shaped my mindset with coaching too. So I try to take a really positive approach with my kids and just enjoy watching them play.
Jake Dickert is our guest, football coach, Washington State. You start off as a wide receiver. You're an offensive side of the ball guy. You're now have this, you know, all this experience on the defensive side as both a coordinator and a position coach. How does that work? Because that's like me taking a math teacher and making him a political science teacher.
Yeah, the story is when I went into this journey and asked my college coach, John Mitch, to be a graduate assistant, my brother was playing offensive line at the time still, and he didn't want me coaching on the same side as my brother. So he said, it'd be great for your career. Go learn defense, and you'll see a whole other side of the game, and it'll help you someday when you get back to coaching offense. And I was like, oh, coach, that makes sense. That's great. I was under a great coach in Jerry Olszewski, who later gave me my first defensive coordinator job. And it just started down this defensive path. And then the graduate assistant, I was on defense at North Dakota State, which really shaped really all facets of me as a coach, as a, you know, scheme-wise and all those things. And I just always kind of felt I was getting it back to offense. But now I just started going down this path. And, you know, now I can't imagine it any other way and love this side of the game. But also sitting now in the head coaching chair and having the ability to watch our offense and how we attack, I just feel there's ways, seeing the big picture, that I can help both sides. So that's always been a passion of mine, and coaching and teaching and leadership. So that's the story of just kind of how it all got to being a defensive coordinator.
I'm big on the psychology of sport, and so I was really curious to see you guys compete after the departure of Coach Rolovich, and really interested to see, would the kids play? How would they react? How would they be over several weeks? How did that group deal with that transition and the attention that was going on in your mind?
I think you got to look at it overall from an outsider's perspective of that. Our guys have been through a lot, you know, our seniors, you know, as you look at the course of time. And this is just another, you know, adverse situation, you know, that really bonded them together. You know, I do think we got a good group of seniors. We got a really good group of captains. And it's got to be player driven. You know, I wanted to set the tempo. I'm a big believer that, you know, leadership shines in the hardest of moments, right? When everyone's looking at you, not just the right words, but the right actions. And we are here for our guys. We believe in our guys. And I think over time you set the foundation for these type of situations to say, hey, this is who I have been and we have been as a staff this whole time, and we're still here. We're still believing. Let's keep working. Let's finish this thing off. And our players really responded to it, and they know the potential that the team had, and our seniors wanted to finish what they've started because they've created Washington State to what it currently is today, and that's been exciting, and we'll honor those guys next Friday. But it's just a mindset of togetherness, and, you know, sometimes, you know, adversity can cause great growth, and I think our guys have learned a lot from this and will be better at it for, you know, the rest of their lives. And I tell them all the time, if this is the worst thing that happens to us in our lives, we're all going to be really good. So it's going to prepare them for a long life and being great leaders.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, too, kind of what we were talking earlier. Like, I think one of the best things about sports for kids in general, and then as they, you know, evolve into being 19, 20-year-old people, is it gives you a safe place to fail, right? So that when you encounter obstacles later in your life, it's not the first time you've seen something go haywire.
Because, John, I'm big into sports psychology, too. I was at Minnesota State Mankato, and they had a sports psych program where I learned a lot. And football is one of life's greatest teachers because you fail constantly and you have to respond to it and you start to learn who you are and you really have to grow and mature daily. So this is just another one of those obstacles that we talk about. And, you know, I like even Friday nights before the games, I like talking about life and just talking about where we are and let the football stuff happen. But this is just life's greatest moments, and we just got to keep learning and growing. And I think our guys have embraced that and, you know, just excited for the opportunities that they have going forward.
You guys look at Oregon on film. What do you see?
Well, I think you see a lot of talent, you know, but you also see a lot of details and discipline. That's what makes them a great team. You know, it's not just good players just running around making plays. They play physical. There's a brand and a style that I think they're known for that's real. So we're going to have to match that physicality. And we're going to have to tackle really well defense and space. And then we're going to have to be explosive on offense. You know, I think we did a good job of that last year in that matchup. And that's going to have to continue. Now we have a better feel for each other, obviously playing one time in our current schemes. So it's going to be a challenge. You know, you can't get too high and too low in big games and big moments and tough environments. We got to double down on our focus and our technique of the little things that we can control. And then we got to let the scoreboard, you know, be what it is and keep fighting for 60 minutes. That's what we didn't end up doing last year. So we got to finish this game.
I really appreciate what you've done. I don't think it's easy. And I think, you know, you guys are dangerous right now. I called you guys a stray dog, and I mean that with all respect. I think, you know, you don't want to pet a stray dog. I think you guys are dangerous and galvanized, and look forward to seeing this game, Coach. I appreciate you giving us time.
Anytime, John. Appreciate your voice.
All right, thank you. There it is, Jake Dickert. Washington State has had to right the ship in the wake of Nick Rolovich. Talk about disruption for your season. Coaches will all the time say things like, hey, we need to stay together. We need to focus. We need to be together as a unit. We don't need outside noise. We don't listen to outside noise. You hear all that stuff. But what happens when the noise is coming from inside your program? What happens when the noise is, hey, your coach is saying that he is going to do something that will ultimately cost him his job? He's not going to get vaccinated. What happens then? Because I watched Washington State as they spun out of that week where, you know, it was Nick Rolovich is fired, he's terminated, Jake Dickert is appointed, and what are they going to do? They're shorthanded. Will the players stick around? Are people going to leave? Are boosters going to leave? And ultimately what happened is I think they pulled together just fine. I mean, about as well as you imagine. Now they get Oregon. This is a big test for Washington State, and it's a big test, frankly, for the Ducks. I picked this one yesterday, 31-30 Oregon, and I mean that with respect to Oregon and respect to Washington State. I think these are the two best teams, the two most dangerous teams in the North Division. And they're playing here 7:30 Saturday night, ESPN. You'll all be tuned in and you're interested to see what happens. But I'm looking at Washington State coming off a bye week. That's a big advantage. I'm looking at Washington State having beat ASU 34-21 2 weeks ago. Showed me that they can play on a high level against good opposition. I saw them compete against Stanford. They beat Stanford. I saw them compete against Oregon State. They beat Oregon State. You know, they blasted Cal 21-6 early in the year. They played Utah okay in a 11-point loss in the early part of the season. But I just feel like this game is a toss-up right now. You give me points in this game and I'll take them. Because I think Washington State can stick around Oregon. I think they'll score some points in this game. I picked it 31-30. Tweet at me at John Canzano BFT. Tell me how you see it and leave it right here. You got the BFT statewide. What do you guys think of Jake Dickert, the interim coach at Washington State? Quick takeaways there. Loved it. Go ahead.
I thought he was really well spoken. I was impressed, John. And I was already thinking that this guy is likely to win over the job come next season. But hearing from him right there, it just sounds like he has a really solid grasp of what he wants to do. He has a grasp of the program. The guys are bought in and clearly inspired to play for him. So overall, very impressed and a little bit more nervous about this game.
He just sounds like a head coach, doesn't he?
He does. He does.
Yeah, I think, you know, I had the same takeaway. Like, I reading the tea leaves, you've seen the way they played. They played pretty good against BYU in a loss in his first game. And then they've come back since and beat Arizona State and they looked good. I think this is an important one for him. He's got to finish good. He's got to finish well. But If you're Pat Chun, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the AD at Washington State. You really need a substance hire here. And I guess you give Dickert the opportunity here in the next 3 weeks. And if Washington State upsets Oregon, I think we could probably say that that is the game that you know, cements him as a solid candidate to stay on and stay the permanent coach at Washington State. Really tough circumstances, but I like his quarterback. I think they've got the best quarterback in the conference right now. I think defensively, they've given some people some problems. I think they're a fun team, and it's going to be a great game. It's the game of the weekend. Like, are you nervous, Zach, as a Duck fan for this game?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be way more nervous if it was on the road. I think being at home, I just believe that Oregon is going to be up for this game. They're going to be awake. Nothing's going to take them by surprise. I think they know how important this game is. And I know we spoke about, you know, Washington State not really being that big brand name program where some of the recruits might come in and sort of overlook it. But I also look at Mario Cristobal. And I believe in this coaching staff and their leadership, and I know that they're going to have these guys mentally ready. So, yeah, there's a part of me that is a little bit nervous, and I certainly am not running to bet the spread and lay 14 with the Ducks. But I feel Oregon's going to win this game. I do think it'll be closer than, you know, what Vegas thinks it'll be.
How about Oregon State? They've lost 11 straight to Stanford. Do they, so to speak, get Stanford taken care of finally, and they break this streak?
Yeah, especially if it's the freshman quarterback for Stanford, they just look so bad against Utah. And I don't expect Stanford to lay two eggs in a row the way they did against Utah. But man, you saw how Utah ran all over Stanford. It was a track meet. I mean, they had a field day on that Stanford defense, which usually doesn't happen. So I think Oregon State, they should pound the football with the run in this game, continue to do, take a little piece out of the playbook that Utah had.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.